Good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
Good to see you. May the Lord bless us as we gather around His Word. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're at the verse 22. Verse 22 of chapter 11. We meet another of the great servants of God. Verse 22 reads, "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bone." Strange commandment, but I hope we'll be able to explain to you why among the last words Joseph said before he died was regarding his bones. Joseph was a very important person in the record given us by God of his people. When we consider Abraham, we know that he was an important man. He was the father of the nation of Israel. But when we look at the record given us in the book of Genesis, we find that his record starts in the chapter 11 and it extends to the chapter 25. But Joseph has a much bigger record given him. His record starts in chapter 30 and it extends to the chapter 50. So you have a longer portion of the book of Genesis given to the record of this man Joseph. And we must take note of that. If God spends more time, as it were, and gives more space in his book to a man than others, we learn that what happened in his life was particularly important. And I might point out to you something else about Joseph's record. There is no mention of sin in the record given of Joseph. We read about Abraham sinning, Isaac, Jacob, many other of the great people of God, Peter, and all the rest of the apostles. They were guilty of wrongdoing. But there's no record of any sin that Joseph committed, given to us in the book of Genesis. Now, that does not mean that he didn't sin, for he did. But it means God did not record any of his sin. Now, the reason for that is, I believe, because in the life of Joseph, you have a setting forth in a very particular way the story of the Lord Jesus, the person of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus was the sinless one. The Lord Jesus never sinned. And that point is emphasized in the record of one who represented many of the features of the Lord, in that God did not record against him any of his sin. He did sin, as I say, but God was pleased not to mention any of them in the record given. Pointing, as I say again, to the fact that Joseph was a picture, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who did no sin. Now, in looking at this verse here, I'm going to read it again, because one reading of a verse of Scripture is not nearly enough. You have to read it again. And again, and go on reading it to get the fullness of its meaning. So listen to the verse as I read it again. "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel." That's the first thing he mentioned. "And gave commandment concerning his bones." That's what was the last thought in Joseph's mind as he was dying. And it's important, boys and girls, to take a note of that. Oh, so many depart this world and they're clinging to it, hoping that they're not die because they fear where they're going. But there are those who, like Joseph, know where they're going, know something of what the future holds, and so he can speak, as is recorded here, about the departing of the children of Israel. That departing took place hundreds of years after Joseph died, but he knew it would happen. He knew it would come about, because it was not God's will that his people dwell in Egypt. So he knew God will lead them out sooner or later. And he says, "When you go out, be sure to take my bones with you and bury me in the promised land." That was the thinking of Joseph. as he lay on his deathbed. Oh, what teaching there is there for us. But simply let me state first of all that in this verse you have an indication given to us that death's not the end. Death's not the end. In the mind of Joseph, he was thinking about what would happen after. Not only afterwards for the people of Israel, but afterwards for him. He had a reason for saying, make sure you take my bones with you. He had a reason for saying that. And the reason was that he knew, this is not the end of me. When I die, it's not the end. There is that which lies ahead, which will take place. Not just in the delivering of Israel out of Egypt, which will happen hundreds of years after I die. I'm sure he knew that. But there will be events concerning me and my bones thousands of years into the future. Boys and girls, I want you to know, death is not the end. The world strives to believe that after death, nothing. We just are buried in the ground and that's the end of it. That's what the world wants to believe, though it struggles to believe that. It's amazing how often I have read of men who, in the face of death and danger, even though they have said, oh, we're atheists, we don't believe in God. In the face of death, what do? They shout, oh, God, help me! They're shouting to the one they always lived to say didn't exist. Because man, in the depths of his heart, knows there is a God. And death doesn't end at all. Death doesn't end at all. And you need to bear that in mind, boys and girls. Because the devil would have you live as if there was nothing after death. The devil wants you to believe that. Because if you believe that, you'll make no preparation for death. You'll not heed what the Bible has to say about our need for conversion. And you'll die and be lost for all eternity. That's what the devil wants. But I'm telling you today, you live with the thought, death does not end at all. Old Joseph, you see, knew there was a future, and he was part of that future. Take me, my bones, he says, with you when you leave Egypt. He was saying, Egypt's not my home. I don't want to be buried here. Bury me in the promised land. And Christians can say, boys and girls, this world is not my home. You ever bear that in mind? Ever live as a stranger in this land? It's not your home. You'll not find in this world that which you need for all eternity. It's not your home. Then secondly, Joseph believed that God would visit his people. Hard times would come upon Israel while they were in Egypt. But Joseph believed that God would come and in a very special way visit Israel in Egypt. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. The departing of the children of Israel. Departing out of Egypt. God wouldn't leave them there. God would work. How wonderfully he worked. And brought them out of Egypt. And let me tell you something now, boys and girls. You see the miracles God wrought when he brought his people out of Egypt. You remember all the plagues that fell on Egypt? God hasn't changed. And you're going to see in the very near future, as we get nearer the end of this age and the return of the Lord Jesus to this earth, the world is going to see a display of God's power like that which he showed when he took his people out of Egypt. Because God's going to visit Israel again. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ entails an awful lot of things. But one of the things that the Lord Jesus is coming back to this earth to do is to visit Israel. Redeem that nation which today is in darkness and in rebellion concerning the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's going to come back to them. There's a great division between the Lord and Israel today. Israel's turned its back upon him. But the Lord's going to visit them one day. Like the good shepherd going out after the sheep. It had its back toward the shepherd. But eventually, the shepherd caught up and took hold of it. And that's going to happen again. And as I say, the wonderful miracles God wrought when he delivered Israel out of Egypt, you're going to see things of that nature taking place in this world. It's recorded for us, particularly in the book of Revelation, the plagues that God will visit this world with, and particularly that part of the world which today is in turmoil. If you knew anything of the news today, you know about the war there is between Israel and the terrorist organization Hamas, and the hatred that there is toward Israel and all the nations round about, and the attack that just took place upon Israel by Iran. You know all about that. Well, that's leading up to the return of Christ and to him visiting Israel again. And Joseph knew as he was dying, the Lord's going to visit you, and he's going to take you away out of Egypt from under the hand of a cruel Pharaoh. There wasn't that cruelty on display in the days of Joseph, because Joseph was greatly admired for his work among the Egyptians. But things would change, and the attitude of the Egyptians changed, and there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph, and he began to persecute the children of Israel. And I am sure Joseph knew something of that, but he also knew very definitely that the Lord would visit his people again. He wouldn't leave them in Egypt. And boys and girls, those of you who are saved can expect God to visit you. He visits us every day. He never leaves us. He abides with us. He accompanies us every day. But in a special way, you can expect a visit from God. First of all, he will visit us when our days come to an end. Yesterday I was at a funeral of a good man that I have known for many, many years. But his days came to an end. If he had lived to his next birthday, he would have been 98. That's a big age. Nearly 100 years. But all of our days come to an end, and for you who are saved, when that time comes, the Lord will visit you. Do you hear me? People fear death. Even Christians tend to tremble at the very thought of death. But when death comes, the Lord will be there. The Lord will be there. Listen to what we read in Hebrews 9:27, a famous verse, I've often quoted it. It is appointed unto man once to die. That's chapter 9, verse 27 of Hebrews. Our death does not come by chance. No matter how our days will end, it's appointed of God. He has arranged it. Now, immediately there comes to mind the passing of some of the greatest people that have lived in this earth, like the Protestant martyrs who died in the most awful fashion, tied to a stake and burned alive, and yet God arranged it. You might say, why? Well, one day we'll understand more fully. But he did it for his glory. And there's not one of those who died in that fashion will in heaven object to how God arranged their death. But they'll be glad that their death set forth the wonderful grace of God. Many of those who died in that fashion, and I have stood in a place in Lewis, in the south of England, where quite a number of martyrs were burned to death. I've stood in the very place where the fire was lit, smarts on the pavement. I've been down in the cellar where they spent their last nights. And some of those, it is recorded, maybe all of them, but certainly it's recorded that some of them rejoiced amidst the flames, because they knew, here am I living out my last minutes amidst agonies, but I'm bringing honour to the Lord. And for that they thank God. They rejoiced that their death would set forth the grace and the power and the mercy of God. And here am I, 400 years or so later, talking about their dying. Well, there's millions have died since, and we don't know a thing about them, but their death we remember and we talk about because it brought honour to God. God arranges our death. He'll come and be with you, dear Christian. Then again, there's another visitation that we can expect, and that will take place on the great day of resurrection. That's what was particularly in the mind of Joseph. Make sure you carry my bones with you when you leave for the promised land. Bury me there. Because I have an appointment. My bones have an appointment with God. And I want to be buried in the promised land when that wonderful encounter with God takes place. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the verse 16. I want you older ones to look it up. You only have to turn back a few pages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the verse 16. One of the greatest verses in the Bible. For the Lord himself. Notice that. He's not going to send the great archangel, Michael. No! The Lord himself shall descend from heaven, get off his throne, and come down from heaven with a shout. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. The Lord doesn't often shout. Indeed, it was said of the Lord Jesus as he went about during his earthly ministry, he was quiet. His voice wasn't really heard. He was retiring, as it were. And how often you read of the Savior withdrawing himself from the crowds. But here he is, shouting. Why is he shouting? Because it was a day of great victory. It was a day in which all of his labors from eternity concerning his redeemed people was reaching its fullness. He shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Trumpets are blowing! And the dead in Christ shall rise. That day was in the mind of Joseph. Be sure my bones are carried into the promised land. That's where I want to rise on the day when the Lord comes. Listen to me, boys and girls. If you're saved today, the Lord will be there at the end of your days. When others can't help you, can't speak to you, can't communicate with you, the Lord will be there. And then again, he's going to be there on that day when he brings us forth from the grave. Oh, what a day. Joseph believed that God would visit his people. And we need to believe that too. Psalm 116 and the verse 15 says this, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. That was the text actually that the preacher took yesterday at the funeral that I attended. And as is my habit, as soon as he announced his text, I wrote down in my Bible an outline. It wasn't the outline the preacher followed, but my outline was, Christians die. That was the first point. If I ever preached it, I would make, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. Christians die. But then, I noticed something else. When Christians die, God's glad. Think on that. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of a saint. He counts the day his people die as a special day. And of course, as I thought of that, I thought, oh, there's many, many reasons why he thinks it's a special day. Because those he has loved from all eternity will be coming to heaven into his presence. You and I are, in a sense, separated from the Lord. If you're saved, there's a separation between us and the Lord. Here we are on earth, he's in heaven. But the moment we die, God's glad because we go to heaven. We depart to be with him. That's why he's glad. We will meet him as we have never met him before. We will see him as we have never seen him before. And he will see us in a special way. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Oh, are you one of his saints today? I ask you that. Let me just close, because time has gone. Let me just close by saying that though Joseph died in Egypt, he didn't want to remain there. His last thoughts were thoughts of, carry me out of Egypt. And his request was honored. It was hundreds of years later. Years of persecution and trouble for Israel under an evil Pharaoh. But when they moved out at the Exodus under the leadership of Moses, they took the bones of Joseph with them. That was a very peculiar funeral, wasn't it? Because he had died hundreds of years earlier. And now they're taking his bones to bury him in the land of Israel. Exodus chapter 13 and the verse 19 says, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Joseph knew there would come a day when God would lead his people out, and I want to go with you, he says, or at least my bones. Joseph's soul was in paradise at that time, but his bones were still in Egypt, and they wanted his bones carried up to the land of Israel and there buried. And in Joshua chapter 24, they've arrived in the promised land, and we read, and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. His bones were laid to rest, and his dust lies there at this minute in the place called Shechem. And from that dust, when the Lord returns, Joseph will be raised. His soul, that is in the presence of the Lord, will be reunited with his resurrected body, and Joseph will rise from the grave. Oh, what a miracle this is. It's a great mystery, the Bible says. But mystery or not, we believe it. We believe it. And that has been what the saints of God have believed for all of time. Listen to the words of Job. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin's worms destroy this body, he knew what would happen when he was buried. He would just disintegrate into dust. Yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins. You know the reins that are used when you're driving a horse, that controls the horse. That's the authority over the horse. Well, that's what Job's speaking of. Even though my most important parts, despite the rendering of his body to dust, he would rise again. In Daniel chapter 12 and the verse 2 we read, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake to everlasting life. The dust of the earth. What was man made out of? The dust of the earth. And that body will return to dust. But by the wonderful power of God, as God wrought on that first handful of dust when he made Adam, God will take our dust and we will rise in glorious bodies. If you're saved, that's your hope. That's your hope. The bones of Joseph will live again, as will the bodies of all the redeemed. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 and the verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's not very long, in the blink of your eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's what was in the mind of Joseph all those years ago. Why he thought as he did about his bones, the quest to carry them to the land of Israel. Bury me there. That's where I want to rise from the dust when Jesus comes again. That's our hope, boys and girls. I hope it's yours. Are you saved today? Don't dismiss what I'm asking you. Are you saved today? This is the most real thing there is. God have mercy on you. Save you from the blind unbelief and rebellion that will carry you away from God into a Christless eternity. Humbly call upon the Lord and ask him to save you. Let's bow in prayer. Bless your word, Lord, today to every boy and girl here, and any who may hear it at a later stage. Oh, we thank thee for the hope that we have, the hope that Joseph gave voice to. Likewise, Lord, we too can look forward with Job to that wonderful day of resurrection. Bless the school today, Lord. Help us to live and work and toil ever in the light of that future which God has planned. Bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.